At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now we are joined by someone who was with us not so long ago. His name is Christopher Bailey. He's World Health Organization Arts and Health Lead. As you probably might remember from the last time he was here, he is severely visually impaired with terminal glaucoma. He's also managed a cancer diagnosis, but that has not put a stop to his gallop because he's been on a mission around Ireland. Christopher, good morning and welcome.
Oh, it's great to be back, Pat.
What were you doing?
Oh, well, I was asked by the Government of Ireland to take a look at the actual arts and health practices in clinical settings and community settings around Ireland and in the hinterland as well. And that's, I have to say, one of my favorite parts of the job, to see the work in action, not just brought to a conference in a PowerPoint.
Yeah, because, you know? I mean, people will throw statistics at you and so on, but you saw art in action, shall we say.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Arts in action. So where did you go?
Well, I started out in West Cork in Skibbereen. Mm-hmm. And I have to say the name of the town because I love to say the name of the town. Then we went to West Newcastle and Limerick and Galway. So it was quite an odyssey, actually. And in a way, I had such an amazing time in Skibbereen. I thought, oh, what a shame that we're climaxing at the first stop. But every stop was a new community, a new set of creative expression and artistic practices, new problems that they were trying to manage. It was like a new door opening up to a magical room in an enchanted castle. It was really quite remarkable.
Now, what were people doing? What sort of activities were going on? And what kind of recipients of this artistic largesse did you meet?
Well, it was a large range. To give you an idea, when I was in Nunaw, there was a group of musicians that came in and sang folk songs, and not just Irish folk songs, but also country and Western songs. And at one point, they sang Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire. And there was a woman there who was managing late-stage Alzheimer's and was fairly unresponsive, but began to sing along to the song, and the expression on her face turned from one of contorted confusion to smiling joy. And while that connection was established with the song, the musicians then began to ask her, so do you remember when you sang that song? And she said, yes, I was a young girl in my parents' farmhouse, and I danced without my shoes on a cold stone floor. And that's how specific the memories were. I was by the fire.
Yeah. So it's extraordinary that that memory and those lyrics were still there.
That's right.
And hearing the music enabled her to retrieve them in some way.
Oh, that's right. And I think the neurology of it is kind of interesting. I won't go into a whole technical discussion, but when your brain is damaged by Alzheimer's, music doesn't cure that damage. It doesn't repair the damage. But when you look at what the brain does in an MRI while you're listening or playing, it's not a particular part of the brain that gets activated. It's the whole brain. It lights up like a Christmas tree. So I think what happens is that when you are listening to a song that's meaningful, that the neural pathways find temporary detours and awaken these long-lost memories, which gives the person not only these precious moments of connection, but the family members and loved ones get this rare glimpse of the person they thought they had lost.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful thing to see, that awakening.
Now, many people, particularly in the west of Ireland, would be living in isolation, sometimes self-imposed. They just like their own company.
Sure.
Other people are isolated and they would prefer it to be other. And then there are people who end up in a nursing home, maybe surrounded by people that they have not grown up with and they have not known. and with whom they have little connection.
That's right. And I think in general, I work at the World Health Organization, so my beat is the planet. And I see evidence of this growing pandemic of isolation and loneliness around the world. And loneliness is not about a lack of people. I always go back to this quote from Carl Jung, the Swiss psychologist, who said, loneliness is not the absence of people. Loneliness is the inability to express what matters to you most. So when you find people who are isolated, not just by choice, but because of a physical infirmity or because of a financial or emotional situation, being able to reach out to them with an activity or a communication that helps them find that expression of what matters to them can be a truly transfiguring experience.
One of the problems might be, the false dawns that you have one of those experiences and then people forget about you.
Yeah.
And they don't come back maybe for another month.
That's right.
And then you get another glimpse into something and then it's gone.
Yeah.
So you need a continuity.
That's right. That's right. And that's when I've been talking to arts and health practitioners around the country and in West Ireland, I would ask them, so what is the one thing that you would like me to take away from your experience beyond all the wonderful things that are happening? What can be improved? And they said, well, it's not just a lack of money, which everyone complains about. It's the fact that often it's individual piecemeal funding. To have a national strategy, to have an approach where there can be a continuity, there can be a follow-up, that we don't fall into pilotitis all the time.
Yeah, the pilot program for this, that pilot program for
that. Exactly.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The other thing is how much of all of this depends on volunteerism.
Yeah.
Or whether or not the state should actually take it all on.
Well,
or does volunteerism have its own virtues, if you like, both for those who volunteer and for the approach they bring, which is not a 9-to-5 approach?
Well, I think part of the beauty of this work is that you can do it yourself. You don't necessarily need a professional, but there are times when bringing in a professional can be of great benefit. And so I think there's a spectrum. But I also believe that artists in general, whether they're working with a conscious and specific therapeutic intent or just entertainers, if they're professional, they should be paid. I think too often we assume that because arts are joyful and fun, people are willing to do it for free. And I think you should do it for free if that's your hobby, but if it's your profession, you should be paid.
You should be paid.
Yeah.
One of the things that happens in, say, a nursing home setting is that, particularly if it's a state-run nursing home, if, for example, the occupational therapist goes on maternity leave or takes a long holiday or whatever, or the physiotherapist does that, they tend to replace them. Doesn't always happen in the private sector because they have their occupational therapist, they have their physiotherapist, and when they go on holiday, we just have to do without until they come back.
Yeah.
In terms of arts and its contribution, you've got maybe a group of musicians who come in every week and then they go on holiday. And people are really looking forward to this, a couple of hours on a Wednesday afternoon.
Well, you just touched on one of the most important aspects of the work, and that's looking forward to it. People who have fallen into a mental trap of no longer seeing something to look forward to actually find an event like the musicians coming or something like that, that they do look forward to, that's hope. That's actually, and particularly with Alzheimer's, where your sense of time is disrupted, to know that there's something coming is extremely helpful. But in terms of the continuity, one of the things that struck me, particularly in the Irish setting, is how the musicians get to know the people that they serve. So they might come one time, there's some interaction, but they remember, and they remember the stories and the memories and the interests. And then they come back with specific songs and poems that apply to their lives, to their situation, or sometimes they even write a new song about them. Or invite them to write a poem, and they'll set it to music.
You also met with traveler groups.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was extremely moving, actually. And the purpose of this one particular session in West Newcastle was the one of the issues with one of the health issues with traveler groups is if you're moving around, it's hard to have continuity of care. It's hard to know when there is a health issue that needs addressing, whether that's physical health or mental health. And we know from some of the statistics that mental health and self-harm are above average in some of these communities. But what's the warning signal? And if you have a community that doesn't want necessarily to integrate, how do you find out? So in this group, they use a quilting circle where they bring the women in, and the ones that still have the craft of sewing, crocheting, creating quilts, teach it to the others who may not have learned. And in that circle, as has been done since time immemorial, they begin to talk.
Yeah.
And they begin to talk about their lives and what's going on and how they're feeling. And you have some mental health professionals who are not spies. They are identified as such, but they're not intrusive. They're not quizzing. But they hear and they pick up things, and then they ask questions and, oh, would you like to see someone about that? And then suddenly the services become available. But it's in a gentle, conversational, trust-building way.
As well as which I suspect quilting is fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a good session, a positive session from which other things may flow.
Well, and when you think about creative expression, it's not just about coping with misfortune. It's also about celebrating joy. And sometimes for some people, that's even harder.
All right. Well, it's great work that you have been doing. I know that Creative Brain Week is actually taking place in Trinity College, and it's carrying on.
Yeah, it's third edition.
Third edition of that. Yeah. And it carries on, I think, until Saturday.
Yeah.
And you are there, of course, and will be reporting back, I'm sure, on all your travels around the country.
They are waiting with bated breath.
Christopher Bailey, who is World Health Organization Arts and Health Lead. Christopher, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.